time we've had tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you can speak to our hearts and minister to us, Lord. And I pray, please bless this church. Thank you. I want to preach and teach and just kind of emphasize camp experiences in the Bible. Camp experiences in the Bible. The idea, and I'll read my scripture tonight and then kind of give you a background of where I'm going to go. But it says in Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And we're going to kind of highlight camp experiences in the Bible. And be still and know that I am God. Do you know that word, be still? A lot. When we think of the word still, we think of not moving. We're still. We stopped what we're doing. We stopped in our tracks. When in fact, it actually has the connotation more of being quiet, meditating, listening to God speak to our heart. And that's kind of the connotation of that. So before I get too far into it, let's pray and ask God's blessing on the service tonight. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for letting us gather on a Wednesday night and open your word, Lord. Thank you for the freedom to do that. Lord, I pray you bless Pastor Fritz and those that are traveling with him. Please bless in the conference going on there in Indiana. And I pray you'd help that. And please speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray that you just bring them back safely, give them safety as they travel. Please be with those that are sick and not with us tonight. And I pray you just bless the preaching of your word and the teaching of it tonight. In your name pray, amen. You know, you think about camp and all that happens in a week of camp and all of how God speaks to people's heart. And you think, how does it happen? Why can we preach sometimes a message at church and we preach the same message at camp and there's a different response? And sometimes people respond better at camp, not always, but sometimes people respond better at camp. Why is that? There is something to be said about getting away from the things of the world, unplugged from all of the distractions that distract us on a daily basis, and get plugged into God's Word and to hearing the preaching of God's Word, and just separating from all of the things that distract us. No doubt you come in here tonight and you're still trying to unwind from your day. You're still thinking about the projects you left at work and the things you got to do before tomorrow comes and all that's going on. When in fact, when we get to camp and elements like that, you get away and you'll be able to settle and kind of disconnect from all that. Everywhere you go, you're getting bombarded and things are distracting us. You go to the gas pump these days and there's always a television there. It seems like you can't get away from screens. There are always billboards and screens and your computer and your phone and music and the radio. And we never have a quiet time. This is going to drive me nuts. So I'm going to just knock it off and eat a piece of candy and go on. All right, I'm just going to stay on this if I could, as that was distracting me. I'm disconnecting! All right, good illustration, thanks. No, it's not your fault at all, I don't think. But we have to blame somebody, so it's got to be the sound guy. That's the way things go. But now I have to start all over again. Psalms chapter 26, no. So, disconnecting, and we find that, you know, in life there's so many things that bombard our time and our energy and our focus that sometimes we can't get in tune with God, and things like that distract us from time to time. You know, when it says be still and know that I am God, you're in a position where you need to hear from God, and you have a tragedy or a trial or a question or some reason you need to hear from God. Prayer is not meant to be a panic attack. Think about this, okay? Prayer is not meant to be a panic attack. Here's how we pray sometimes. God, I'm going to die if you don't fix this, and if you don't solve this problem, if you don't pay this, if you don't... No, that's not being quiet and letting God work, okay? The proper approach in prayer to God in a situation like that should be more or less, God, you know what I'm going through right now. You understand the trial I have right now or the problem I have. What should I do because of this? How should I respond? How would you respond? How would you like me to respond? And then you stop talking. And then you let God respond on behalf of the situation. Let Him give you a verse of comfort. Let Him direct your ways. Don't jump into something in a panic attack. I got to do something or else the world's going to fall apart. No, let's just let God be God and let Him be still and know that I am God. Let God work. But it's going to take us being quiet, which we don't like to do at times. We like to have noise. It's a little awkward when it's just quiet, when it's silent, when you can't hear anything, when you don't hear anything, any noises. And that's when we can hear God the most. Miss Beck and I are now used to living on the camp property. At first, it was a little too quiet around there. We're in the middle of 517 acres, and the only thing I can hear at night is her snoring. No, that's not true. I am getting deeper and deeper, Brother Todd. You shouldn't have told me to say that. Got to blame somebody. But it's quiet out there. And the other day, we've been traveling a lot and going to different churches. And the other day, we were in Dubuque, and we were in this hotel, and we thought, boy, it's going to be nice just to have a day to unwind. We've been busy, been traveling a lot. And so we stayed at this hotel, and it was 7 stories tall, and we were on the top floor, and we thought, this is going to be nice. It was a nice place. And all night long, all we heard was traffic and horns blowing and trains coming through. And it was like we were awake quite a few times during the night, and we're thinking, boy, I didn't realize how much we really got used to it being quiet. And when you're not used to something like that. But all through Scripture, and this is where I want to draw the conclusion to the quietness of camp and yes, when we come to camp, camp's exciting and there's a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. But it's the idea of us disconnecting from the world and disconnecting from the things that distract us from hearing from God and allowing God to speak. And all through Scripture, there's examples of when God was able to speak to someone and God was able to get their attention because they were in their, if I could call it, their camp experience, their quiet place, away from the distractions, away from everything that would have caused them not to hear God speak. And there's times where, and in life, there's going to be moments when we enter into times like this. There's going to be avenues that we create, like camp, to allow God to speak. But then on top of what we're going to go in tonight and the examples we'll have, there's got to be times when you and I, in our own personal devotions, on a day-to-day basis, disconnect. The Bible talks about when you enter into your prayer closet, close the door. You know what that you know what the connotation is there? Separating from all the distractions that you have in life. Separating from all the things that can take your mind off. You've been there before. You start praying and all of a sudden your mind starts wandering and you start thinking about all the things you got to do that day. And before you know it, you're a million miles away from meeting with God. And close the door that has a connotation of just separating. Get into your prayer closet, close the door, open it back up, throw your phone out, throw everything out that's going to be a distraction, then close it again and meet with God. Be still, be quiet. Meditate on how good God is, how bad we are, how inferior we are, how much He can help in our problems, and let that settle your mind. You know, I don't think a Christian should be on edge all the time and nervous. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And no problem we have should be bigger than the God we serve. And sometimes we got that out of focus. We don't realize how big God is, how much He can solve that problem. And we're focusing on the problem instead of the solution to the problem. My first example I want to give you is in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Camp experience in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here in Samuel, we have the account and the story of Samuel in the temple. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." That word ministered, he was attentive to the needs of the Lord. He's attentive. He was in tune to the needs of Samuel, ministering to Samuel before the Lord. "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." God wasn't really meeting and speaking to many people. It was a dark period. "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God, a lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." Now that's an interesting phrase there. A lot of times when I was younger, I thought, okay, they're going to sleep, so they're going to turn down the lamp. It went out. We're going to go to sleep. It's night, and then we hear the story of Samuel, Samuel. But that's not necessarily the case, because if you would cross-reference that back to Exodus 27, verse 20 and 21, they were commanded to keep the lamps lit in the temple always. It was a command that they were never to go out, that they were to always put pure olive oil in those lamps, and that they were to burn continually. And out of neglect, the lamp of God went out. As best as I can figure out, this was about 359 years from the time that they were commanded not to let the lamps go out. And as far as we know, all those lamps were burning up until this point. But out of neglect, out of wickedness in the day, and we know what Eli and his sons were doing. Eli wasn't necessarily a part of the wicked acts, but he was turning his head away from those acts and letting those things still continue to go on. And it was a dark time, and God wasn't speaking to many people. And God was far from what was going on in that time period. "So ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel lay down to sleep, that the Lord called to Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." God spoke to Samuel that night because he was attentive. He was ministering to the needs of Samuel. He was attentive. He was in tune with God speaking to him. And he was in a place where God could speak to him. He was in a quiet place. He was in a place where he wasn't distracted by anything or anybody. And he wasn't allowing the wickedness of the day to affect him. What a great example for us today. And that is when God came to Samuel, and God was able to speak to him and call that young man. In just the short amount of time that I've been at camp and working at camp, this year will be the 16th year I've been doing this. But in just that amount of time, I've seen less young people called into full-time Christian service now than I did in the early years when I was doing camp work. As I had the records from Cedar River Baptist Camp, before I was there, there was records from year to year to year and would show how many people were called into full-time Christian service and answered the call to preach and answered the call to missions and answered those calls to call to full-time Christian service. And it's sad to say that there's been less people statistically that have answered that call now than there were back in the 2000 time period, in about 2000. I don't know what was about the late 90s, the early 2000, but let me ask you the question. You think God is calling less people these days? Absolutely not. But people are more distracted, more in tune with all of the devices and the input of media and TV and phones and blah, 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 all that goes on, that they're not listening, they're not in tune and attentive to God speaking to them. Let's not get distracted by even good things that life has to offer us, that we're not in tune with God when He speaks to us. But yet Samuel was in tune as he was attentive to minister to Eli before the Lord. And then that's when Samuel had his camp experience and was able to hear God speak to him. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. We'll see another experience. First Samuel was a call to a young man. Now we have a call to a young adult. And we find in Exodus chapter 3, Moses, before he's leading the children of Israel, before he's been called by God, here we find Moses on the backside of the desert. He's in the middle of nowhere. He's at camp, okay? If you want to try to find camp and you can't find it, go down the dirt road, gravel road. When it turns into dirt road, just keep going and you'll probably end up finding it, okay? That's where camps are, right? They're in the middle of nowhere. But they're there for a purpose. And this is kind of where Moses was. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the Mount of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And we have the burning bush experience here, and where God speaks to Moses. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Not consumed. Just on Monday, I had a huge pile of brush, and I love to start fires. I don't know. It's something a guy likes to do. And we made this huge pile of brush, and we were cleaning up some areas. And it's just an amazing thing. I strike a little match and come back in later, and my whole pile of brush is gone. And I didn't even have to tell Jake to move it or get someone to move it. It's just miraculously gone. I love fire. The bigger, the better. And so I know no one else is like that in the room, but that's me. But Moses, he shows up to this bush, and it's burning. But it's not burning up. And it's continually burning, and it caught his attention. See, God got his attention. And what's it going to take for God to get your attention, to keep your attention? How easy is it for you to get distracted? You're reading your Bible in the morning, and all of a sudden you hear, where did my phone go? Someone's calling me. Oh, no, it's just my alarm or something. You know, but we're so easily distracted. Anything can take our focus off of talking face to face with somebody. We get that buzz from our phone or whatever it may be, and here we go. We're off in a different avenue, going somewhere else. But Moses was in tune with God, and God got his attention when this bush was burning. And Moses said, I will now turn it aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside. You know what that was? When he saw that he had his attention, that his focus was on him, he was able to give him this command, and tell him what he was going to have him do in leading the children of Israel. Moses was in a prepared place. He was in God's presence, and he found God's purpose in verse number 7. But it wouldn't have happened if he was in the middle of Pharaoh's courts, if he was still living there. It wouldn't have happened in a place like that. It wouldn't have happened. God needed to get him in a special place, in a place away from everything else that was going to cause a distraction, where he could hear him speak. We see God calling a young man in Samuel, God calling an adult in Moses, but then we see another camp experience, if we could call that, in 1 Kings, in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We find the story of Elijah. Elijah is running from Jezebel, the wicked queen Jezebel. And in this story, we find, 1 Kings chapter 19, we find that Elijah is in a cave. We don't think of a populated place when we think of a cave. We don't think of a city. He's by himself. He's alone in this cave. And he's not there. And God's going to get his attention. And God brought him to that place, perhaps, so he could get his attention and speak to him. Now, he wasn't there to call him into a great work. He was already supposed to be a preacher. He was already supposed to be doing God's will. But yet, Elijah was distracted. All right? Listen up here. Listen up. Elijah was distracted. He was in this cave, and we read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? The word of the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, this wasn't a, why are you here? This was, what are you doing here? He was correcting him. He wanted him to answer why he was there. Because if we were to look back in, hold your place there, go back to chapter 17, verse 9. Verse 17, verse 9. We're just a couple chapters back. First Kings 17, verse 9. God is speaking to Elijah here, and he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which is belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Where did God tell him to go? Zarephath. So why are you in a cave? Why are you hiding here in a cave? Okay, you get the picture why he said it, why he said that? Now go back to chapter 19, verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. You know what's happened to Elijah there? He was sitting in the cave and he was having a pity party for himself. He was sad, he was miserable, he's saying, woe is me, I'm just going to sit here, I'm trying to protect myself, I'm the only one that serves God anymore, no one's serving God but me. That's what he thought. He said, I'm the only one in the world that's doing right. That wasn't the case at all. Because if you were to jump down to verse number 18, there were 7,000 more preachers in Israel, all that did not bow their knee to Baal. Okay, so there's 7,000 more, but here he is having a pity party for himself. He's alone, he's in this cave, and God says, okay, I've trapped him here in this cave, I've got him from running, he's not running anymore, I gotta have a man-to-man conversation. We're going to have to come to Jesus meeting here, okay? Elijah, what are you doing here? And God used that experience in Elijah's life, his camp experience, his time alone. He wasn't with the 7,000 prophets. He wasn't with anybody else. He was by himself. Where God used that to correct him and to get him back on the straight and narrow and to get him back in the will of God. Here he was running from Jezebel, a wicked queen, when he should have been standing for right, when he should have been in Zarephath, as we found out just a chapter and a half ago. Yet, God used this as his time in this cave, away from everyone else, to get him back. He was a backslidden Christian at the time. And God used that camp experience. And it's an amazing thing to come to camp and watch God work in someone's life, and to change their life, and to, for them to get up and testify as a testimony at the end of the week and say, look, I know I was running from God. I had a bitter spirit towards my parents. I know God's calling me into the ministry. I've been running from... whatever the case may be, and we've heard that time and time again. And what a great thing to be a part of that. And what an honor it is to serve God in the camp ministry and see lives changed and have that... bring young people to their cave experience and to the backside of the desert experience and to that temple where they could hear God speak and call them or correct them. We see also, as my last example, in Luke chapter 19. Turn to Luke chapter 19, or 9 if you will. Luke chapter 9. We spent a lot of time in the New Testament. Now we're going to be in the Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is spending... Jesus is speaking here in verse 28 and 29, Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he, Jesus, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. You realize what was happening in Jesus' ministry? People are always pulling on him. Jesus, heal me! Jesus, help me! Jesus, Who touched my garment? All that. And they would come by the thousands to get healed, to hear him speak. They would back him up to the Sea of Galilee where he'd have to get on a boat to speak to him. I mean, think about this. They're always pushing on them, always expecting something, always trying to get something from them, always wanting a miracle, always wanting to see the next thing he was going to do or the next message he would preach. And they were always after him. He'd go out in the desert, into the wilderness, outside the city, and thousands would follow him out there. Do you realize that's where he fed the 5,000? Was not in the city, not in the city, but out in the desert. Where there, and so people would just follow him everywhere. And here he says, you know what, James, John, and Peter, we're going to go away for a little bit. We're going to go up in the mountain. We're going to slip away where no one can get to us. No one can be with us. And we're going to have a special time of prayer there. And that's what they did. They said we need to get our batteries recharged. We need to meet with God. And they went away for a little while. And it says that they went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Can you imagine being with God in an experience like that and seeing what those three men saw? I mean, no words could describe. They came back and, guys, guess what we saw? I really don't even have the words to put to explain what I saw. But if you could imagine and they tried to explain what a miraculous thing and putting it into a into words. No words could describe what they saw that day. And just because they desired to be with Christ, desired to go apart a little bit with Christ, to spend time in prayer with God, that they got to see the miraculous. They got to see things that only those three men ever got to see. Yeah, they got to see the healing of the lame man. They got to see someone raised from the dead. But in that day and time, multitudes got to see that. But they got to spend special time with God where they saw a different side of Christ when he met with his heavenly Father and they prayed there in that mount. And they had that mountaintop experience when they were away in special time in prayer with God. And that was an amazing experience for them to get alone and have a personal connection with God, with Jesus and their Heavenly Father in that experience. And this was like a camp experience for them where they separated from that. And I want to encourage you tonight in these examples. Camp is once a year or during the summer. And we'll do our best to set up a atmosphere that's pleasing to God in music and its environment and uplifting Christ. And I encourage you to come and help get the bus kids and get the kids from your church at camp and watch the miraculous things God will do in their life. But on top of that, every day in our life we should have a camp experience, a quiet time, a time where we can be still and see God work in our life. Take time in your prayer time each day to meditate how good God is and how awful, how sinful, how wicked we are. When you start to think of yourself as any better than just a filthy rag, as God tells us our sins are, you know, you're thinking too highly of yourself. You're exalting yourself way more than you should. And that's about, the Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. It's about the time we're going to fall and fall flat on our face. But when you're in a time in life where where you can do nothing to solve your problem and you say, God, I need some help. I'm taking my hands off a situation. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to talk bad about the situation. I'm just going to want to see you work. I want to see your hand in this situation. I need an answer from you, God. And watch how God will work the miraculous. Each year when we start camp, there's things way out of my control that I have no control over. I'll say, God, I need some help. I've got way too many projects going on at the same time. I'm trying to help Lucas do something today, and every time he turns around, I'm back on my phone or emailing this or trying to keep every front moving forward. And I said to him today, we're putting a post in the ground and putting it in concrete. And about then, my phone rang, and I said, Lucas, couldn't have happened at a better time. Now you get to finish this hole by yourself. And he thinks I'm just sitting around playing all day and making him work, just pointing. But there's so many things, and it can be easy and frustrating to say, oh God, I can't get all this done. How do I do it? And that's when I come back to a verse like this. It says, be still and know that I am God. I'm in control. I know what's happening in the economy. I know what's happening in government. I know. Just trust me. Why are you worried? Fret not. Psalms 37. Fret not. Fear not. There are so many promises of the Word of God. We don't need to worry. Christians, the world ought to see us as solid, stable, with life under control, not because we have it under control, because we put it in God's hands. And just camp is such a special place, such an important place. But that idea, the element that makes camp camp, is getting away from the things of the world, disconnecting. And that's something we can do every day. I'll say these last two phrases. We need to unplug to power up. Unplug from all the devices to let God give us His power. Turn down the volume so you can hear Him speak. Turn down the volume of all the noise, all the noise pollution of life, so you can hear Him speak. And that's what makes camp so special, so important. And that's what's going to get us through hard times in life, is just realizing that God is God, and letting Him be God, and be still and know that I'm God. Lord, we thank You for...